You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up Here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. We are having a lot of fun. Hope you are too. If you ever get a chance, watch the stream on YouTube or Facebook, and then you get a little show behind the show. We're just having a good time there talking about craziness. But enough of that, because it's 7:06. That means you're waking up, you're moving around, you're getting ready to go out and do what you got to do today, and there is some stuff you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, another big shakeup in the administration. The head of U.S. Border Patrol, the agency tasked with securing the nation's frontiers and increasingly tapped by the Trump administration for immigration operations in America, announced the resignation of its head yesterday. Not in a jar. The head of the department. Michael Banks' decision, announced in a Fox News interview and later confirmed by the Department of Homeland Security, is the latest leadership shakeup of officials implementing Donald Trump's immigration crackdown. It comes as the Republican administration appears to be recalibrating its approach to its centerpiece policy of mass deportations. Banks was quoted as saying in a report, "It's just time. I feel like I got the ship back on course," and that he was referring to the previous chaos at the southern border. Banks said it was time to enjoy. What was he taking? What was he leaving to enjoy, Parker? What do you think?
Time with his family.
Bingo! Aye. Once again, we went right off the script. Time to enjoy family and life. In a statement, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Rodney Scott thanked Banks for his service, then showed him the door. No, he said, during one of the most challenging periods for border security. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment because, as you know, the president was in China, the most talked about summit in the history of man, so much so that there's really nothing to report from there today. But that's neither here nor there. It's not clear yet who's going to replace Banks. He led the agency at the forefront of Trump's high-profile immigration enforcement efforts. He kept a lower profile. Yeah, I didn't know who this guy was. He's one of the few people in the administration who was not out in front of cameras all the time. He wasn't Gregory Bovino. He wasn't Tom Homan. So that was it. CPB is one of the federal agencies that participated last year in a series of immigration enforcement operations carried out primarily in cities governed by Democrats, an effort that triggered a spike in arrests and led to fatal shootings of two U.S. citizens in Minneapolis this year at the hands of federal immigration officers. Banks' resignation takes place 2 months after Mark Wayne Mullen, a former Republican senator from Oklahoma, became head of Homeland Security. DHS oversees CBP and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE. So another shakeup, another department head moving on to stay with their family. I wonder what all these Republican people did beforehand. I mean, they must not have spent any time with their families. And now it's just coming back to haunt them, because that's the reason they all give for leaving. Even here in Wisconsin, that's Robin Voss and LeMahieu. That was their part of their reason, too. Everybody who wants to spend time with their family. That's how you know it's true, because most people, they're like, I spend plenty of time with my family. I need to go to work to get away from my family. Maybe that's just me. Who knows? Other stuff you need to know? Sure, this is closer to home. Pardon me. After repeatedly recessing a special session called by Governor Evers to take up a proposal that would bar partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin, the Republican-controlled legislature quietly closed the session, packed up their bags, and went home. Evers called for the legislature to convene in a special session on April 14th to begin the multi-year process that, if it cleared the legislature, would give Wisconsin voters final say on a constitutional amendment to ban partisan gerrymandering in the state. It's way past time for that to happen, and yet it did not. Rather than immediately reject Evers' request, though, as they've done multiple times before, Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu opted to keep the session open. But after repeatedly recessing the session over the last month, to keep it open, the Senate formally ended the session late Wednesday while the Assembly adjourned Thursday morning. So guess what? Nothing getting done right now. The adjournments come after the bipartisan deal seeking to infuse millions of funding, that big spending thing, passed the Assembly, did not pass the Senate. On the day the gerrymandering session began, both GOP leaders said leaving the session open would allow for more public input on the matter and for both sides to reach a workable solution. Voss said at the time he hoped the governor would, quote, meet face-to-face with us to discuss our ideas on how to accomplish this goal. Evers said there was nothing to negotiate on the matter. You remember we talked about this when it was happening. So, yeah, they had the special session, but neither side wanted to budge because the Republicans, you know, they're still upset that the Supreme Court changed the maps. Democrats are happy to a point because of fair maps, but they want to have the maps redrawn, and then they want it to be no more redrawing to gerrymander. This is the way it is. So we will see. The governor's office reiterated his stance last week that there was nothing at the time that needed to be discussed. So that's that. And the session was adjourned. Evers' proposal did not lay out any specific process by which maps would be drawn. Rather, it seeks to enshrine in the state constitution a prohibition on gerrymandering, or the process by which one political party draws boundaries designed to benefit that party. The state constitution does give the governor the power to call a special session, but the legislature is not required to act. And so they did not. Now, if that's one of the things, as a Democrat, as we were talking about before, that you're optimistic of the possible trifecta in November and Democrats taking control, maybe that will get pushed forward. But for right now, it is done. We were complaining a little bit about the NFL before and Christmas games and Frank having to watch the Bears-Packers game in some sketchy internet-connected house in Michigan. But the NFL is also being issued with a subpoena by the Florida Attorney General. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer has issued a subpoena to the National Football League as his office investigates whether the organization has committed potential civil rights violations related to its Rooney Rule and other employment practices, policies, and programs. Oh, man. Mr. Uthmeyer, who had previously threatened possible enforcement actions against the league in March if it did not suspend the 23-year-old rule, set the subpoena along with a letter to NFL Executive Vice President and lead attorney Ted Uliott on Wednesday. The subpoena commands the league. Boy, that's even more than rebuke strongly. The subpoena commands the league to appear at the Attorney General's office in Tallahassee, Florida on June 12th. It also requests extensive documents, including, quote, all diversity reports, coaching census data, or demographic surveys that reflect race and sex of coaching staffs of the teams from 2017 to the present. Now, if you are not familiar, the Rooney Rule mandates that teams interview at least two external minority candidates for head coach, general manager, and coordinator positions, and at least one minority candidate for the quarterback's coach role. Roger Goodell, who is the NFL commissioner, he was speaking at a league meeting in Phoenix last month. He acknowledged the evolving political landscape surrounding diversity initiatives in the U.S. Oh, yeah, we know some people do not like DEI. They don't like the snowflakes who want people included. But that's all right. He maintained that he did not believe there should be any legal issues with the league's policy. He said, quote, the Rooney Rule has been around a long time. We've evolved it, changed it. We'll continue to do that. And then the NFL did not comment on the subpoena yesterday, so, or on Wednesday. However, in a letter sent to Mr. Uthmeyer on May 1st, the league stated, the NFL's pursuit of top-tier talent led to the adoption of the Rooney Rule in 2003. Importantly, the Rooney Rule does not impose any hiring quotas or mandates, and it does not license clubs to consider race or sex in making hiring decisions. Hiring decisions for NFL teams are made by the individual clubs, not the league, and those decisions are based on merit. Now, Parker, we know that you host a sports show on Saturdays.
Yes.
Early morning.
Make the Call.
Called You Make the Call.
Make the Call, yes.
Make the Call. Now, just Make the Call. What are your thoughts on the subpoena on the Rooney Rule? Well, it's, now, I know people, not joke, but it's kind of obvious. Sometimes you can tell a team is interviewing somebody just
because they need
because
to.
Of the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
Because they need to. You know, there's still an imbalance, I think, of coaches, mm-hmm. but there are, I think more so in the NFL than anywhere else, you're held to that standard of you win or you leave. So if you're not qualified, they're not hiring. The NFL is never going to hire somebody just because.
Sure.
Just because of a DEI hire, because there's too much money riding on this. There's too much revenue for the league, for the teams, for the cities. And they're quick to let people go if they don't cut the mustard.
Sure. I think what's odd about this is that it does no harm, right? Like the Rooney Rule is just you interview. That's frankly, it probably does more good than I can even imagine harm, because it's just,
because
you're opening
somebody
horizons
who's
to possibly having new people and
exactly. That's wrong. What I was gonna say. You might find a diamond in the rough and you'd be able to do that. So we will see how this plays out, but it's, you know, people want to hire. It's you're giving, just because I didn't get a job means you gave it to somebody else who didn't deserve it. No, maybe you didn't deserve it. Or maybe you did deserve it and it just went to somebody else. That's the luck of the draw. A lot of qualified people don't get jobs. All right, one final piece of stuff you need to know. The Supreme Court yesterday allowed women to continue to access the abortion pill mifepristone through telehealth visits, maintaining the status quo, while officials in Louisiana continue to push for limiting availability of the drug in lower courts. The conservative Supreme Court imposed a pause on a May 1st decision from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of New Orleans that abruptly required women to obtain the drug through in-person visits. The focus is now going to return to the New Orleans-based appeals court, which will decide the merits of Louisiana's challenge. The court did not explain their reasoning, which it doesn't have to in these shadow docket cases, nor did it disclose the vote count. Clarence Thomas and Alito were the ones who did say no. They dissented. The court's unreasoned order granting stays in this case is remarkable, Alito wrote in his dissent. What is at stake, he added, is the perpetuation of a scheme to undermine our decision overturning Roe v. Wade 4 years ago. Yes, that's what people are trying to do. You know why? Because the majority of this country is for choice. That doesn't mean they're for abortion. They're for a woman being able to make her own decisions for her health and her body along with her doctor. And that is nothing for the courts to get involved in. It's something for that woman and her doctors to decide. And in the end, those are the people who have to either live with, well, they have to live with their decisions one way or another. So it's not the court's job. And yes, this is a way for women to access health care that you tried to take away with overturning Roe v. Wade. Now, I know there's people who are cheering on that decision and are very mad about the Supreme Court decision yesterday to keep pushing. And listen, if that's you and you're upset about this, it's still going to work its way through the lower courts, and it'll probably get to the Supreme Court again. But after that, we'll see what happens. All right. We all need to take a deep breath and enjoy a little pop culture. Yes, we do. Because now, when we come back, it is time for Swiper Stay. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Yes, it's time for Swiper Stay on a Friday. Frank has had a solid week of Swiper Stay. Will he be able to close out the week in true Swiper Stay fashion? I don't know. Let's find out. Frank, good morning. Here you are again. Let's get to it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Swiper Stay. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Parker and Brian. Parker, this is your last day of having the superpower.
Oh,
he's going to pray that one of us calls in sick or takes another day off so that he can.
Maybe I'll lock the door on Jamie.
There you go. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
She's only your boss.
That won't go badly for you.
Nah, it's fine. So how it's going to work is I'm going to read some big pop culture headlines, and Brian and Parker are going to decide whether to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Let's go on to story numero uno. All right. A political candidate is planning a reality show.
No. Oh, is it the one we talked about the other day? I'll stay, but let's make it quick.
Swipe.
Is it Sean from the Real World?
I don't want to swipe.
Oh.
Of course.
Well, too bad, Parker.
Yeah.
It is actually Spencer Pratt.
What?
The former reality star who's running for mayor of Los Angeles.
Oh, right. My God.
Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Pratt already signed a deal with Los Angeles production company Boardwalk Pictures to start rolling the cameras as he runs for mayor. The production team is about to begin filming with Spencer, his wife Heidi Montag, both of the Hills, and their kids throughout his political journey. Here's where it gets interesting.
LA sucks.
According to insiders within the deal that he signed, the show is slated to continue if he does win the office of the mayor of Los Angeles. So my question to you guys is, should this be allowed? And does this, in your mind, if you're looking at people to vote for it, does something like this...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, Frank froze.
No, Frank.
I will answer, though. No, this should not be allowed. This is the L.A. mindset in a nutshell. And remember, I lived in L.A. for about 5 years. So it's not that I'm talking out of school from way far away. I was actually there. The LA mindset is everything has to be on camera. Everything is about showbiz. I don't want my mayor, and Los Angeles has a lot of problems. It's a major city, just like any other major city, a lot of problems. I don't want some guy who's never done anything playing for the camera. If God forbid he wins, he is an unserious man. We see what happens when unserious people are elected, and Spencer Pratt needs to go away. The only reason he's running is so he could get this contract for this reality show. He knows he doesn't have it, but this was a quick payday, and if voters in Los Angeles reward him for that, then you get what you deserve. And your superficial mindset and superficial image of being just nothing but, oh, look at us, it's going to be cemented. So there's my answer, Frank.
But Brian.
But Frank.
What? When has hiring a former movie star or reality star not worked out in this country? Come on now.
All right. You're right.
What?
Story two.
America's great again. All right. A-list artist drops 3 albums overnight to spark their comeback.
All right, that's a little much. Stay.
Yeah, I'll stay.
3 albums in one night.
Who's doing that?
Drake is doing that.
Oh.
You love the Drake, Parker.
I love the Drake.
Drake is officially back in the game after 2 years by dropping 3 albums at midnight. Drake fans were already anticipating the album Iceman for months heading into last night's release. Though during a live stream, Drake revealed that he also had 2 more records he'd share as well, sharing the artwork for Maid of Honor and Habibti on Instagram and dropping them at midnight too. Now, of course, all of this comes after Drake's reputation took a massive hit from Kendrick Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go rewatch the Super Bowl performance from what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
2 years ago? And... yeah, it's a song that I had to hear maybe 20 times a day for a 9-month stretch.
Yeah, that was tough.
And if that doesn't destroy someone's reputation, I don't know what does. So Drake is back. We'll see if he fires back at Kendrick Lamar or if he's smart and just lets it be.
Surely,
dude,
if you've had
enough time to do 3 albums and you haven't released anything in 2 years, space it out, because there's a good chance, unless you know that your career is done and you're like, well, I've got these 3. I might as well put them all out now because I'm done in about 6 weeks.
So quality over quantity guy is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would like quality over quantity. Just because you have 3 albums doesn't mean you need to release them.
Fair enough.
We've seen that on many box sets too with previously unreleased. Yeah, we know
previously unreleased. Yeah, because it wasn't good. I don't want it.
It sucked then and it sucks now.
Except for Taylor Swift's Hidden Tracks. Those are usually pretty. There's usually one good one. All right. Major casting process is underway.
Major casting project. Yeah, it's Friday. Let's go 3 for 3, Frank. I'm
Parker.
Staying.
Swipe. But I know what that means.
Oh. We're swiping.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
We're going to swipe for Parker.
All right.
Hope music artists. Unreleased music stolen.
Oh. A little heist? Oh. Stay.
More music? I'll stay. Frank works hard. I'll stay. It's Friday. I'm
it's all right. What do we got? 1 minute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The man who was arrested last year in Atlanta on charges of stealing hard drives containing unreleased Beyonce music has pleaded guilty.
He pleaded guilty?
He was pleading guilty.
He pleaded.
Pleaded?
Did you woke him up today?
The pleats, the pants, guys.
Did his pleats work? His pleats pled guilty?
Couldn't remember what the exact.
That's all right.
It's fine. The English language sucks.
Jay-Z hasn't had him. Somebody come to his house.
Anyways, he'll spend 3 years after the prison sentence on probation.
All right, good for him. Frank, another stellar week of Swipe or Stay. Thank you very much. We'll be back Monday to do it all again. On the other side, should state employees be able to use their inside knowledge to place bets? Tony Evers has thoughts on it, and you will too. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, 735 on the Civic Media Network. Glad you're with us wherever you are listening. And maybe you're listening on the app, so you could truly be anywhere. Where in the world are Civic Media listeners? That's a new game show that we'll be playing never. But it's another thing to put on our pitch sheet, Parker. Where in the world are Civic listeners? And Jamie in the Jar. So a lot of things that we're going to be talking to sales about as the weeks go on here. One thing we won't be doing is taking a job with the state government and then trying to place bets on the poly markets. Oh, those are, I understand them. I don't want to say I don't understand them, but because I get it, but I can't believe how quickly that market for wagering has exploded. There are millions of people making bets all over the world. We have heard speculation that a number of people in the administration have placed bets and made a lot of money based on inside information. We know that there was an arrest of a soldier who was involved in the Venezuela attacks, who made a lot of money because he placed a bet using his inside SEAL information to make a little dough before the invasion. We hear it all the time. And it's troublesome. If you are a government employee who has access to inside information, I don't think you should be able to use that information to make bets. Well, the governor agrees with me because Tony Evers issued an executive order yesterday that applies to more than 30,000 state workers. It bans those employees from using any non-public knowledge they obtain through their public service as a way to profit from prediction markets. It also bans those workers from sharing that insider knowledge with others, like spouses or other family members, so that those people can make profitable wagers. So yes, Parker, stop asking me for inside Civic Media stuff so you can. I can't give it to you. And I know I'm not a state employee, but I have a code of ethics.
Please?
No, I'll tell Frank, then talk to Frank.
Mm.
That way I'm not. I like to remove myself by at least one level of any sort of shenanigans. Any employee who violates the order can be fired, referred to Wisconsin's Ethics Commission, or referred to law enforcement for criminal investigation. What do you think about this? Is this something that makes sense to you? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I think it makes perfect sense. And I know, listen, some insider information is not, while it is classified, it's inside information, it doesn't have bearings on national security, or it doesn't have bearings on the state. You're not going to hear some information that would cause, if you won a bet, cause the downfall of Wisconsin financially or whatever. But it's still, It's just icky. If I can put it in a very base thing, it's just, you're not supposed to be profiting. You're getting your paycheck, and some things are supposed to be secret. And I know this society anymore, nothing is secret. Everything has to be out in the open. Everybody has to have an edge. And believe me, I love an edge more than anybody. I like a little special treatment. I like being in the know. But I also can realize that my employer has a right to monitor the information that I use. And I think most places, if you work for a company, they have that proprietary information thing. I don't know if you've ever been fired. Parker, you have not, luckily.
No.
But that's why most places, if you get fired, as they call you in to fire you, and Frank can back me up on this, somebody in IT is wiping your emails and everything so that the minute you walk out, you are not privy to any inside company information anymore. They don't want some disgruntled employee doing that. And I'm sure that's part of this too, but it's also active state workers should not have the ability to profit from inside information. Now, according to the governor's office, no need to worry because there hasn't been any identified incidents of insider information being used or disclosed inappropriately by Wisconsin workers. But the use of prediction market wagers for real-world events is raising concerns. So governors in other states, including Illinois and New York, have handed down similar rules for state workers. And at the federal level, prosecutors have charged, as I mentioned earlier, a U.S. soldier with violating the Commodity Exchange Act. He allegedly used classified information to make wagers through Polymarket about the timing of the U.S.'s invasion of Venezuela. Now, last month, Wisconsin's Department of Justice sued Kalshi, Robinhood, Coinbase, Polymarket, and Crypto.com, alleging those platforms facilitate illegal sports betting in Wisconsin because, you know, we have a different system of online gaming here in Wisconsin. It has to all go through the tribes and through one hub. They're saying that doesn't. Well, the federal government said, "Hey, too bad." They filed a countersuit against Wisconsin, arguing that we were trying to interfere with the operation of federal law in regulating financial markets. Similar suits have been filed by federal authorities against other states attempting to crack down on the online platforms. Now, this may sound, I'm sure, to some people, well, that's infringing on my rights. That what I do in my own time, blah, blah, blah. Every employee is under a code of conduct where they work. I don't care if you work at Starbucks or Culver's or Civic Media or the state of Wisconsin, we all have a code of conduct that we have to adhere to. We all have rules. It's the same as you can't go on social media. Like if I went on social media, even on my private accounts, which I always have that all my opinions are my own, it doesn't matter. If I say something wildly inflammatory, well, the company could look at that and say, listen, that reflects badly on the company. You knew the rules. Hit the road. And I would say, okay, have you already wiped out my email? They said, of course we have. We do that the minute we called you into this office. Oh, okay. So this is nothing more than another rule that if you want to be a state employee, you have to know about. And it clearly spells out the ramifications of you deciding that you don't want to follow the rules, which is always a very important thing. Because you can make a rule, and if one employee breaks it and another employee sees that nothing's being done, well, then why should I follow it? Other than that I'm of upstanding moral character and that other person's a sleazebag, I really don't think there's anything to keep me from doing that. Well, now they've laid that out, that there will be ramifications, there will be consequences. You could be fired, you could be referred to the Ethics Commission, or we'll call the police. Law enforcement's going to get involved. What do you think of that? Not too much. So, yeah, it's amazing to me, as I said, how big this Polymarket deal is. All these platforms now coming up and doing. And I think, is Polymarket the one? No. Polymarket is, I think, the overall thing. There's one that you can only use in other countries. I can't remember. I can't keep them all straight because it seems like they're starting up all the time. And we've talked about this. You don't wager that much, even though you're a big sports guy. You don't wager that much, do you, Parker?
No, I don't. All? I don't wager at all. I've got a buddy who I don't know if he still does this, but he used to. He does like to gamble on stuff.
Okay.
But he also knows that it's not a very good idea to do that very often. So he'll put in $100 on his birthday for his like betting account. And then he'll bet that until it's gone. And then he doesn't put any more in until his birthday the next year.
Oh, okay. So maybe he plays with, maybe he goes on a little roll and he plays with the house money for a while, but 100 is his limit.
Yeah.
Now that's a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, it's responsible. It's fun because here's the thing. Everybody thinks they're going to make a lot of money doing this. And according to studies, the people who think they're good at predicting the future on these sites really are not. They're losing at roughly the same rate as online gamblers betting on sports and other real events at traditional sports books. So you are not the great prognosticator. You are not Karnak. You're not able to see the future, even though you may have gotten lucky. Because since Polymarket launched in 2022, a few thousand people have lost the bulk of the money. So there's a lot more losers than there are winners because 0.05% of the users have won the most overall profits. Now, that's according to a research firm. 0.05. I'm no mathematician, but that's low.
That's low.
Very, very low.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's, no.
That's bad.
That's not at all. That's like a quarter of a percent.
Oh.
That's all. That's who's winning. So the odds of making a profit are slightly higher if you're betting on the weather or tech markets, and lower if you're betting on sports. So many people are only losing a little bit of money, which is good. Like your friend, $100, you put that in, yet maybe you have a whole year of fun. And then the next year, if you just put your $100 in again, now you're, you know, man, now you got a big pool to bet with. Or you just leave that, you just let it ride and you don't have to make another investment. That's great. But yeah, if you think the Polymarket is going to be your retirement account, I've got some Beanie Babies you might want to buy because that was good. Oh, man, a lot of people thought that was going to be their retirement account. I thought I'd be sitting pretty by now, Parker. I'd be living large in a deluxe apartment in the Skahahai, and yet I am not.
So that's what's in those closets behind you. It's loads of Beanie Babies.
If you open those closets, it's like Mr. Peabody and Sherman. An avalanche of Beanie Babies all in their protective cases and all having the little tag protector on them would come tumbling out and I would be crushed under Pyrex just trying to conserve my... my investment! I thought it was a poor man's way to collect art. Well, I didn't. My wife did. You know, yeah, I didn't have the money for a Monet, but I had the money for a Benny Beanie Baby.
There you go.
Oh, man, first edition. There you go. I had the Princess Di. I was ready to roll the original one, not the runoff. So, yeah, you think you're going to make money in the Polymarket. You're really not. And when there were, as I'm looking at this and studying this, there were charts. And the chart, when I tell you 0.5% of users have won the most amount of money, that sounds bad. When you look at it on a chart, you go, oh my God, that's like nobody. Really, that's maybe one guy is making all the money on the Polymarkets. Everybody else, no, you don't get any money. That's not how it works. So we'll see. And again, I have no issue with the state telling their employees that, no, you don't get to use inside information to enrich yourself. You don't get to tell your buddy. And that includes if you're sitting at a Packers game and you've had a couple brats and a case or two of beer and, you know, your friend's boo-hooing that he doesn't have any cash. You go, listen here, I'll tell you something. Do yourself a favor. Bet on the fact that nothing's getting done in the state. You're going to make a ton of dough. I know this. Can't do that either. Can't do it. Got to keep your opinions to yourself. Oh, my goodness, Parker. When we come back, this is where you and Frank are going to have some more hot takes because we're going to talk about the NFL again.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers schedule, and maybe we'll revisit that Christmas game discussion, but because it's, we'll give you the deets. But a lot of thoughts on the schedule from fans, a lot of thoughts from Parker, and a couple thoughts from everybody else. And your thoughts, too. You looked at the schedule, what it came out yesterday. You're looking ahead to the football season. What do you think of the Packers' chances? Are they going 17-0 or 0-17, somewhere in the middle? And what do you think about the Christmas Day game? So a lot of football questions in the next segment, and I want you jumping in, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because I know you may say we're tired of talking politics. We're never tired about talking Green Bay Packers when you are in Wisconsin. I know that for a fact. Don't forget, you can go to Instagram and Facebook and like our new social media pages, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. That's the same page you'd look for on Spotify, where you can subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a thing. Even if you are getting ready to, you know, like WMDX in the third hour, you won't be here. Subscribe to Spotify. All right, we'll be back with more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Oh my goodness, it is almost like Christmas if you are an NFL fan. Good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak. What do you feel about the Packers' schedule? And then here's a secondary question. So, first of all, your thoughts on the Packers' schedule that was released yesterday. And two, on Christmas Day, will you be enjoying a festive holiday or you'll be watching the Packers take on the Bears at Soldier Field? We know what Frank is going to be doing. Come hell or high water, he is going to be watching that game. His nieces and nephews, he doesn't care about them, that they want to celebrate Christmas and watch Frosty the Snowman. Frank
Go
doesn't care.
Go play with
your toys. Yeah, wow.
Go do something else.
Screen time.
Am I wrong?
Take their iPads. Let them go do something else.
Go be an iPad baby.
Oh, God.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Parker hosts Make the Call on Saturdays here on, is it on the whole network?
I believe it is on the whole Talk Network, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That's very exciting.
8 a.m. on Saturdays. Time. I believe it re-airs like three more times during the weekend, too. So you can hear
you can
a
never
lot
get
of
enough
if you really want to.
Never
just
get
in case
enough
you
Parker.
Miss it.
We don't get re-aired at all, Frank. But Parker's sports show gets re-aired all weekend.
We get re-aired at like midnight. I heard it when I was driving home on Monday. Yeah.
Well, sweet
this
Melissa.
This is news to us.
Yeah, so we should get
we
paid.
We got to up our rate.
Yeah, we should get paid twice.
It's true. That's a good point.
Then they go, or we just don't re-air it. Well, 601.
So, real quick,
yeah.
I know we're talking about the Packers, but
sure
Parker,
are.
I was teased that you have thoughts on the schedule release videos that teams make. So, the floor is yours.
All right.
What's wrong with these?
I have three rules about social media teams and their schedule release videos. Number one, you get one video. You don't get multiple videos.
I agree with that.
True.
Take.
The Patriots,
one video.
Patriots
one.
Put out a couple of videos. I'm like, no. You get one try.
To be
at this.
Fair, the Patriots have a lot going on behind
They've
the
got
scenes.
A lot going
I think
on.
They need all the help they can get.
If one of the videos had Mike Vrabel in it, you know, at the bar, that
forget
would be
that.
Great.
The Chargers
be great
gave a little
if Diana
nudge.
Was in it.
Well, I meant with Diana.
With Diana. Sorry, I didn't pick up what you were putting down.
All right. Rule number one. We stayed on rule number one.
Rule number two, the video has to actually be about the schedule. It can't just be some whatever it is, because I think the Packers were basically kind of just like a whatever they want to make up.
Oh.
And
all right, I agree with that too.
Part of number two.
Explain.
You can't just slap it on at the end. If you're going to make a video about whatever and slap it on the end, that's not a schedule release video.
Okay.
No bueno.
Good. I like both those rules so far. And number three.
Number three, the schedule needs to be revealed in order. Don't make me crisscross throughout the season during the video.
So,
I don't like when they're like, we're going to play in week 10 against the Chargers. And then in week 4, we're going to play against the Rams. And oh, hey, by the way, in week 1, the Vikings. Don't make me crisscross. Give it to me in order.
That gets a little picky, a little nitpicky.
Do you need, here's my follow-up question to that. Do you need, and this might break rules 2 and 3.
Oh,
do you think we need the video to be long enough to where I get every single game presented to me? Or can you just give me the hits
quick
and then the schedule at the end?
Quick. 3 minutes. You get 3 minutes of my time.
I think 3 minutes is pretty generous.
Yeah, that's a long video.
I think that's fair. There are some Oh, which one was it? I don't remember how long it was, but the Atlanta Falcons did a fantastic video of parodying This Is SportsCenter commercials, but they didn't have the schedule at all. They just slapped the schedule on the end.
Like, that's fail. Oh.
So fail. Yes, fantastic video, but fail for what the assignment is. Yes.
Well, in fairness to them, if the schedule is not released till yesterday, and you're trying to do a good video, other than just reading the schedule live, there has to be pre-production to get these videos ready.
Oh, there's
because they don't leak. Yeah. Do they leak the? I mean, the teams know the schedules before the public, correct?
Yes.
So they still could get it in. They still could get the schedules in.
For sure.
I like Parker's rules. That's why he hosts a sports show, Frank. Now, if you were a sports programmer like you used to be, where do you put Parker in the day? What day part does Parker get?
Parker, I think that was a great midday take.
I'll take it.
It was too logical. That was the issue.
Okay.
It wasn't hot enough.
That's fair.
Yeah, we need some more
emotion. You're too agreeable.
I think too much. I'm sorry.
I need you to make good points and piss a lot of people off to get that afternoon drive slot.
Yeah, you got to yell, Parker. I didn't hear you yell at all. I didn't hear you blow a gasket. I didn't
Although
hear anything.
You could do morning drive. Mornings are pretty chill.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I'm a morning drive kind of. Yeah.
All right. So let's look at this Packers schedule. I've seen a lot of both sports writers and fans seem to be okay with this schedule. Mm-hmm. Not too bad. Your bye week is in week 11, which is good because then, you know, you're banged up a little bit. You get a rest before the run. John is listening on WMDX. He says, do we really need the video? I think not. That is John's text. Thank you for texting
John,
in.
John, I think the video's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And what harm does it do to you?
We know Frank doesn't like fun. So pick a lane, Frank. Do you like the whimsy
like
of the videos? Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything. I don't care. This is one I'm not. Why fight over it? It's innocuous.
Just don't watch it.
If they want it. Yeah, just don't watch them. And, you know, teams, if you're listening, abide by Parker's rules. So, Parker, real quick, you like the schedule?
I do like the schedule, actually, quite a bit. I think they did a really good job with spreading out the divisional games. I was worried that they would get really backloaded like they did last year. It's not too much the case this year because that kind of sucked.
I hated that.
Yeah. But yeah, I really like the bye because they've got it kind of funky with the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They have a game which follows a bye, and then they've got like a long break until Sunday of the next week. So you've got basically like two mini byes around that game in the middle of the season, which is awesome.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the thing. If you're listening on WMDX, we'll see you later. But you might want to download the free Civic Media app because Francesca Hong is going to join us at 8:35 to talk about her campaign. So get there. More after this. I'm Brian Noon, and this is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.